The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So the last verse we had discussed, which is verse 18, it says, Yada viniyatam chittam atmani eva avatishtade. Nispruhaha sarva kamebhyaha yukta iti uchyate tada. We have seen obviously the technique of meditation. And he said this technique will purify your internal instrument, the mind and intellect. Once that intellect becomes purified, it will connect you. It will become the instrument of connection with your higher self. The same intellect is right now, which is my actually an obstacle. With this intellect, I'm trying to understand God right now. So as we have seen in the Bhasmasura story, you know, when the Shiva gives the boon to Bhasmasura that, okay, wherever you put your hand, it will burn. We have this boon that with our intellect, whatever we focus on, we will understand it. So what we are trying to do is, just like Bhasmasura did, running after Shiva and said, let me see whether I can burn you also. Let me try it out on you first. So what we do is with this intellect, we say, well, let me figure out who the God is. You know, that's where God runs away from us. You know, because this intellect is not meant to understand God. It's only to understand this world. This world of material things and beings, my mind and intellect can understand. With the same impure instrument or incapable instrument, I try to understand God, the God runs away, as in the Bhasmasura story. Then who comes? Mohini comes and lures us away. No matter how much I try to understand God through my intellectual ability in this world, this world of objects come and lures me away. That's why we say, well, what is the point? Somebody made a comment. I gave a lecture last time at the Hindu Center. And somebody came and said, well, you know, it was such a wonderful lecture. However, nobody can practice it. End of the story. So, wonderful lecture, but of no use to anybody, basically. That's what it meant. So what happens is we do exactly the same thing. We try to understand this with our intellect. And on the way, we get lured by this Mohini. And then we say, forget about this thing. That will never happen anyway. Bhagavan said that only the purified intellect, once it is purified through this self-exercise of self-discipline and a contemplation, a firm desire to know God will make my intellect pure enough to connect it with Him. The same intellect which was an obstacle because it was getting lured by the Mohini is now become the instrument of connection. So with that he said, Yada viniyatam chittam, when the chitta is in control, that is not running away with every Mohini which I see in this world. You know, that self-controlled chittam, atmaniyava vatishtate, that chitta is not focusing outside, is focusing inward on the self. Nispruhaha, there is no longing. All this is achieved by the discipline I made my mind under control, that there is no longing in the mind. I may have a desire. I feel hungry and I will have desire for food. I get thirsty and I will have desire for water. I have a need to make some money and I have a desire to go to work. But that becomes a mundane desire and not longing after something. So nispruhaha, one who has given up the spruhaha, sarva kamebhyaha. You can say, well, I have given up all the desires but this one thing. I remember when I was living in Houston, and at the time I was very much, they were the first time I was very acutely exposed to this thing. And Gaurang Nanavati, who is the Acharya of Houston, was a very close friend and also my mentor. I said, Gaurang Bhai, I just had this one desire to design this high-rise building in this country. Once I get over that, because I got a job around that time, I'll be back into this Vedanta. And Gaurang Bhai just laughed and says, even that one desire, Neil, will never let you leave that anywhere, you know. So, and that's true. I'm still practicing architecture after all these years when other people who are with me and now become Swamis and Acharyas, you know. In fact, Swami Purushottamananda came to our house back in about 84 or so. And he's about my age. He's slightly maybe older than me. I said, Swamiji, when did you meet Swami Chinmayananda? He said, about 64. I said, around that same time I met Swamiji, you know. And then I suddenly realized, Swami, look at this. He was this, whatever, the physics teacher or somewhere, met Swamiji, now he's a Swami, and I'm still looking for a job. So it's the sarva kamebhya is the you know, operative word here. Nispruhaha for all the kama. I will continue doing what I need to do, but there's no longing for doing something. And let's say, yukta iti uchyate tada, such a person is a yogi. Yogi does not wear the saffron robe, but he has no longing left. His mind is constantly turned toward the self while working in this world outside. So Bhagavan said, that's what you will achieve when you do this discipline in your life, and the meditation and contemplation will put you in that state. And now describing what your state of your mind would be. He said, yatha dipaha nimatastaha nengate so upama smrita. Yatha dipaha nivatastaha. Vata, wind, you know. That's why in Ayurveda there is kapha vata pitta. You know that? Vata is wind. Yes. Wind which is vata. Nivata, when there is no wind. Doesn't say no air, no wind. That the flame of a lamp is steady. See, right now this flame is not steady because there is a vata. The air conditioning is pumping air, you know. So you say where there is a wind, this flame is flickering. But when there is no wind, the same flame will become completely steady and it almost looks like an object, you know. You say, sa upama smrita. Looking at the yogi's mind, that simile is remembered. Just as in a place where there is no wind, a lamp, the flame of a lamp is completely steady. Even though it's burning intensely, but it's steady. He said, yogino yata chittasya. One whose mind is in control. Now, chitta is actually all of it, not just mind. All the thinking faculties completely under control. Mind, intellect, ego, and chitta is under control. Control doesn't mean it's not working. It's not completely disabled. It's working under my control now. So you say, yoginaha yata chittasya yunjato yogam atmanaha. That he's practicing yoga established in his self. So we have seen the process, we have seen the reason why we should do it. Why we should do it? Because that's the only place you will find the peace. The peace which you are seeking is the only place you will find it when you get out of the roller coaster, as I said. While in the roller coaster, there is no stability. When I walk out of it, there is stability. In this world, when I focus in this world, there is no peace. No matter how hard I try, there is no peace there, and therefore I'm seeking for a peace. The method is to live a disciplined life, contemplate on yourself, and establish yourself in that self where the peace resides. That is the home of the peace, your own self. So he said, once you do that, your mind will be like this. Your mind and intellect will be acutely functioning only towards your own self. He's acutely connected to yourself. Yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogam atmanaha. A yogi with a controlled mind is established in yoga of his own self. And they say, yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pasyan atmani tushyate. This is pretty interesting. It says that yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. When the chitta is by yoga seva, by practicing yoga, is niruddham, under control. The whole thinking entity, not just mind, not just intellect, but the ego is also in control. Every time I think I did it, my mind reminds me, not you, Neil. That's a control over my ego. Every time I think this will give me happiness, it reminds me the last time you tried this. Investment in stock market guaranteed 5% return, all the historical statistical data. So now everybody says, well, that's not true. We never told you this is true. Because in the last 10 years, the return is zero, actually, since 2000. So everything which I have seen, when I try to do that, I remember, this is not really true. Thus, when I have a complete control of my thinking entity and say, all the thing external which I thought will find me peace is truly have no capability to give me peace. The things which I think have a capacity to give me happiness is an equal capacity to give me unhappiness. When my mind is constantly aware of this fact, it's in control. So I said, yatra upar chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. How did I learn that? By this disciplining my mind, yoga sevaya, is now under control. And say, yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pasyati. He sees the self by the self, atmani tushyati, and satisfied by the self. There is no external entity can ever have any power to give me the peace which you are seeking for. The contentment which I am seeking for. We constantly say, everything is right, but there is something missing in life. I am not a president of the company. Or I am not respected in the community. I have all this money, but nobody respects me. My last firm was Dewberry & Davis. Mr. Dewberry, Sid Dewberry, started his firm probably about 45 years ago, basically, with four people. Now there are 2,100 people. But in about, 15 years ago, when I joined them, he realized that he has all these 22,000 people, but nobody will ever remember Sid Dewberry. He realized the only people who get recognized are the glitzy architects, in construction business, who has a big name. So he said, who designed the St. Louis Arch? Everybody knows, those who are architects, everybody knows Eero Saarinen designed it. Who did the engineering? Anybody remembers? Nobody. Is the guy who, actually it's an engineering marvel, St. Louis Arch. It's not an architectural marvel. But everybody remembers the Eero Saarinen who designed the architecture of it. Nobody remembers the Fred Severud who designed the engineering of it. And it's truly an engineering marvel. Back in about 84, I was designing a high-rise building in Philadelphia, and I was sitting with my structural engineer in New York, and he took us out for dinner at night, and we were talking about these great buildings. And I said, I like the Eero Saarinen design in the St. Louis Arch. And I said, it's truly an engineering marvel, but I don't know who the engineer is. And my engineer started laughing. He said, Neil, think who is the engineer. He said, I don't know. He said, my father. I was sitting with Fred Severud Jr. Fred Severud Sr. has designed the arch. And obviously in engineering journals probably it's all written, but I did not know even as an architect. So he decided that, Mr. Dewberry decided, I'm going to find a glitzy architect and attach my name to him. That's how everybody will remember Dewberry. That's how he hired a headhunter and found my boss and a group like me from Texas and displaced us from Texas and put them into Virginia so we can design high-rise buildings for him. And everybody says, oh, that's a Dewberry building. So there's always something missing. After making that huge effort progress, from one person can own 2,100 people firm, starting with four people, but still he thought something is missing in my life. So Bhagavan said that will continue to happen as long as your mind is outward. Because you think it's going to give me, getting an architect will give me happiness. And he found out pretty quickly that that's not giving me happiness. He had to fire all of us after a while. So, yatracha eva atmana atmanam pashyan. One who sees the self by the self. This self cannot be shown by anybody. No guru can come and say, here it is, Neil, I'm going to show you. We have these stories about, you know, student goes to the teacher and puts his hand on his mind and suddenly he gets into samadhi. My guru never said that happens, okay? So he says, one who sees the self by the self, only yourself has a capability to see yourself. And only thing in your way is your own mind and intellect. Once you purify that, the same mind and intellect become the means to see that self. So he said, one who sees the self by the self, what we're looking for? Contentment and peace. Atmani tushyate. He will be satisfied by the self, in the self, by his own self. Seeing my own self, I'm now satisfied. It is like all my life I thought I am a poor person and struggling to make my ends meet. Suddenly I realized my grandfather used to be a very wealthy man. I don't know what he did with all his money, so let me start finding out. And I do some research and found out that there is a document lying in a vault which says that all that money was given to me. All this time, all this money belonged to me as sitting in a Swiss bank, except that I didn't know that. Once I found out by my own research where the money is, and now I know that's my money, I'm satisfied. I don't need to do anything more. I know I'm a rich person, money sitting in the bank, in Swiss bank. All along that money was mine. I just did not know. But with my own efforts, I found out where my wealth lies. What is my lineage? Well, my grandfather was a very wealthy man. How can I be a poor person? And I found out the money is all belong to me. Now I am completely content. I don't look for a job anymore. Finding the self by the self and satisfied in the self. Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Veti yatranacha eva ayam sthitaha chalati tattvataha. When a seeker feels this infinite bliss, then there is nothing more to be achieved in this world anymore, you know, which can be grasped by my intellect. You say, how would I know? You have given, Bhagavan has given you this intellect. You'll grasp this bliss by your intellect, by the purified intellect. Right up till now, I was trying with the intellect, which was meant to do the objective search. Trying to do a subjective search, and it was not working. It's like I already hear an AM radio, and I keep trying to tune it to FM radio. And I say, well, this radio is useless. Or I can say, FM radio does not exist. In this room, there is no FM waves. Because here is the proof. Here is my radio, I can tune it to it. Only thing, when I realize it's not the lack of FM waves in this room, it is the limitation of my radio, which is causing me not to recognize it or not to tune it to it. Once I purified that mind, that intellect, it can grasp that infinite bliss. Right now, I can't experience this bliss no matter what happens. I make money, I lose money, all of that constantly makes me uneasy. But once that is connected with the pure intellect, I find my infinite bliss and say, we transcend the senses. It is sukham vatyata buddhiga atindriyam. All the things which I have experienced as happiness through the senses now seems very, very meager and without any value. Because this happiness is something way beyond what I could have even imagined what my happiness could be. So he said, wherein established, he never moves on. Vetticha yatra nacha evayam sthitaha chalati tattvataha. Once I'm established in that, never I come back to this ignorance about myself. Once you recognize, you woke up and realize it's a daytime, just before that you were dreaming and thought this is that. Once you are woke up to the day, you will never be convinced that it's a night right now. No matter how much people convince you, but you know it's day outside. Once you woke up to this reality that your nature is ultimate bliss, that infinite happiness is you, you will never be shaken from that, no matter what happens. And that's where obviously we will stop.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.